you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
As of this week, music producer and YouTube star Rick Beato has 2.3 million subscribers who watch his deep dives into musical theater, often using examples from pop music. His videos are meant to be educational. They're deeply analytical, but they are from time to time demonetized for copyright infringement. That means a protest is filed by the owner of the publishing rights of the song that he's highlighting. Most recently, Beato had a dispute with music publisher Warner Chappell Music over a live-streamed video called Why Today's Music Is So Boring, The Regression of Musical Innovation. He played a chord progression on his guitar of Led Zeppelin's Babe, I'm Gonna Leave You as an example of a complex chord progression.
We'll take any Led Zeppelin song, Stairway to Heaven, or Babe, I'm gonna leave you. I'm using a million things then. Experimenting all over the place, right, with these different chord progressions.
That Rick Beato in his YouTube video, Why Today's Music Is So Boring, The Regression of Musical Innovation. This morning, Beato says he got word that the claim was released from Warner Chappell Music. With us to talk about the legal issues that play out here, because Beato is not alone with having this same sort of copyright issue with music, is Kelly Shapiro, managing partner and founder of the Los Angeles-based firm, Kelly D. Shapiro. Kelly, thank you very much for being with us. This, of course, we're in a whole new generation of these kinds of conflicts with YouTube and Twitch and all sorts of other uses of music like this. How common is it for a publishing company like this to go after the content?
Hi, Larry. Pleasure to be here. You know, we're starting to see a trend where copyright infringement cases or basically takedown notices, DMCA takedown notices, are increasing year by year. It's increased every year, especially within the last few years. And publishers are looking to protect their assets, right? They're in the business of making money, not in the business of education, which was the video that you just played, right? So they are definitely going to enforce their legal protections into the work that they own, even partially own, that they administer the rights for. So it definitely happens quite a bit. And I represent artists. I'm on the artist side. And so we see this a lot, especially my, DJ clients or anything like that. But also my individual artist clients, also on the other side of that, they themselves will, through me, will send DMCA takedown notices, not just on YouTube, TikTok. Also, we've had to do that as well to protect the rights of the owners of the copyright.
Why in this case, though, wouldn't the publisher see Beato's instructional videos, the educational component of it, and that it probably is going to drive people to listen to the original Led Zeppelin song, that this is a benefit for the publisher?
That's what I would think. However, I think their first, their first instinct is to protect, and to quiet down any potential infringers. And they also know they have the leverage there because, yeah, you can fight back, but it's going to cost you, right, to actually go because YouTube is not the court of law, right? They have their own process of addressing potential infringements of copyright. but you would really have to fight it out. YouTube doesn't want to be in that business. You have to fight it out in actual court. So the big publishers obviously have the time and the resources to try and defend their interests. And so, unfortunately, these creators, I think it was clear, and clearly because just recently that claim was released, hopefully they came to their senses that, oh, this is actually, you know, this would come under the educational fair use doctrine. And then they realized, you know, the error of their ways. But I think they want to send a message to creators, say, we are watching you. You better make sure you are legally prepared to defend, you know, your use of this copyrighted work, or we will make it difficult for you to stay, you know, to keep your channels up and to keep continuing to monetize your channel.
Given that Beato was DMCA'd for playing a chord progression, then what does this mean for, you know, song cover videos where people are performing someone else's song? And then, you know, can the publishing company go after people for doing that?
You know, they can, unfortunately, they can go after quite a bit of folks. They have quite a long leeway, or there's a way for, you know, I strongly suggest that creators, before uploading content, they really go through the fair use doctrine. There's a 4-part test, and specifically with covers and with fair use, you know, I would think that if they're adding anything to the song, also that's one thing. But you just covering the song, I would just be very careful, because you can get a license. That's always the safest way, right? For folks to get a license from the copyright holder to post their cover. But you really have to look, because it's a case by case situation. For every single video, every single bit of content.
Yeah.
I really don't want to say a blanket answer that shows
sure.
you're fine with doing covers, but you really have to look into this, and it's really, really case by case. And I'd really encourage creators to really research what that 4-part test is of the fair use doctrine of copyright law to make sure they're protected.
Kelly Shapiro, Santa Monica and LA-based attorney with her own firm. Also with us is adjunct professor of business and music law at UCLA, Don Franzen. He's visiting professor at the Berklee School of Music as well, and his firm is based in Beverly Hills. Don, thank you very much for being with us. Let's flesh out a bit. What is that 4-part test for fair use?
Yeah, happy to do so. And thank you, Larry, for the chance to talk about this. I agree with everything Ms. Shapiro just said, but to follow up on what she mentioned, yeah, the fair use test is unfortunately not a bright line test. It is a test that involves 4 different factors. And in the statute, it's in Section 107 of the Copyright Code. What it requires is the court has to look at 4 things. One is the nature and purpose of the use, and the fact that it's educational or nonprofit weighs very heavily here. The other factor is the weight given to the copyright of the underlying work, the work that is owned by the party that's complaining. And then the amount of the work and the substantiality that's taken. And then last factor is the effect on the market for the underlying work. And when I analyze this, and I imagine, I don't know if Ms. Shapiro came to the same conclusion, but I see Mr. Beato winning on 3 out of 4. I really think this was a fair use situation, because it was for educational purposes. The only thing that counts against him is that he is a commercial for-profit blogger. But the Supreme Court made clear years ago in the Pretty Woman case that just the fact you're commercial doesn't mean you're not fair use. It doesn't exclude you from invoking fair use. And the other factors, well, yes, the work, the underlying work, of course, is protected, although we could argue about whether this particular chord progression, the 5 chords that he played, actually are protected. We could argue about that. But in terms of what he only took enough to make his pedagogical point. He took enough to illustrate the point he's trying to make, which is that this was a more complex chord progression, and he was contrasting it to what he considers less complex and less interesting chord progressions done by contemporary artists. And then the effect on the market you alluded to, which it might be that someone will go listen to the Led Zeppelin song now because they found this so interesting, his exposition on the chord progression. So anyway, that's my scorecard. I give him 3 out of 4 in his favor, and I think it was very wise on the publisher's part, on Warner Chappell's part, to pull back the claim.
In terms of the market effect, if Beato had been ridiculing the song and playing that chord progression to show that it's overly simplistic, let's say he was doing the exact opposite of what he was doing, would that have made it easier for the publisher to make their case?
Well, then the doctrine of parody comes in, which I mentioned a moment ago, the Pretty Woman case, where the Two Live Crew did a parody of Roy Orbison's iconic song, Pretty Woman. And the Supreme Court in that case, this goes back a couple decades now, did say that parody can be a form of fair use. And then you apply the same four-factor test that I just went through. So if he was doing it for the purpose of making a parody of, or possibly ridiculing the original song, he might still be protected.
All right. I want to thank you both so much for being with us. That's Don Franzen, music and entertainment attorney based in Beverly Hills. He also teaches business and music law at UCLA and is a visiting professor at the Berklee School of Music. And my thanks to attorney Kelly Shapiro, who provides representation to very high-profile DJs, musicians, singer-songwriters, stand-up comics, actors, and much more. It's Air Talk on KPCC.
The LAS Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at las.com/sweeps.